Perek Chaf Pasek. We did the Ne'er Hashem Nishmas Adam, and now we're up to one second. Yesterday we were in the middle of Pasek Chaf Zayin. Ne'er Hashem Nishmas Adam Choyfeis Kol Chadrei Voten. So we discussed this idea. That the neshama is a inspector. It's a wiretap. It is watching every person's actions, and the neshama reports back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When a person leaves this world, the neshama tells Hashem. Well, not only when a person leaves the world, when a person is alive, the neshama is always sending back messages to its source, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu about all of the sins and maybe the good deeds of a person. Now that seems to indicate that the neshama is not our essence. A person's essence, his spiritual essence, is something other than the neshama. What that is, it's not clear. We discussed yesterday. Not exactly what this means. I don't know. But at least according to the Medrash, the way the Mitzudas and Rashi learns, it's an appendage. It's an appendage to a person's spiritual essence that goes back and reports to HaKadosh Baruch Hu every single thing that a person does. That's not the common understanding of the word neshama. We commonly understand neshama to refer to a person's true essence. That's who I am. My neshama is who I am. It's trapped in my guf. While I'm in this world, it's trapped in a guf. And when the person dies, then the neshama goes through. The person's neshama returns to the next world. It's not what Rashi seems to say. There's something other. The person's essence is not called the neshama. Maybe it's called the yechida. Maybe it's called the ruach. Maybe it's called the nefesh. I don't know. Hechzarta bi nishmasi. So I don't know. Maybe when we daven, and it means one thing. When we speak, it means something else. And when it's what it says in the pasuk, but we learned yesterday in the pasuk, it's very clear. We'll read the words of the mitzvahs again. It's very powerful words. Pasuk of Zayin the mitzvahs. Just like a person searches in darkness through an air, Cain likewise. Hashem searches a person's deeper innermost thoughts. Al yedei nishmas ha'adam. The neshama is Hashem's flashlight. It's Hashem's flashlight to inspect and to inspect our thoughts. Because the neshama sees everything, and it will testify against us. Achar
Meir Ve'Esrim. The DNA is a data strip that records everything.
Okay, whatever that means. I don't know what that means. Whatever that means. Now we learned also yesterday that the famous Chazal. So to review, the famous Chazal is that there are two neshamas. There are two neros. There are two things that are called a ner. The Torah is called a ner, and a person's soul is called a ner. Kid ner mitzvah, the Torah are. So Torah is called Hashem's ner. It's a ner mitzvah, and two parts are the same. The ner produces or. By studying Torah, you zocher to the or of the ner. And then we have here in this pasuk, this revelation, that the person's neshama is also called a ner. Ki ner Hashem nishmas Adam. And we learned yesterday that Kadosh Baruch Hu, Chazal tells Kadosh Baruch Hu made a deal with us. And he said, you watch my ner, I'll watch your ner. I'm giving you the Torah. If you watch, observe the Torah, then I will, and you guard my ner, I will guard your ner. Your neshama will be okay. Nothing to worry about. Okay, then we also mentioned, just to review, we mentioned this agada, we're a halachic shayla. A person on Shabbos is makom sakana. He is in a state of sakana, and they need to put the light out. The doctors say you must extinguish the light so he can sleep, because if you don't let him to sleep, he's going to die. And the only way he'll get a proper sleep is if we put out the light. Are you allowed to extinguish a flame on Shabbos in order to allow a person? What?
Even for listening.
Even that sakonis nefashis pikuach nefesh. Of course, the answer is yes. Of course, but this is just one example. One example is: are you allowed to extinguish a ner in order to allow a chayla to sleep? So, of course, the answer is yes, because we have a pasuk in the Torah that tells us v'chay bohem, that all of the mitzvot are only given to live. And anytime we have a conflict between a mitzvah and between a mitzvah and avera and a person's life, so we all know the basic rule: pikuach nefesh is doiche kol haTorah kula. The only
to die, but we'll make him more comfortable and he needs to sleep.
So he's a chayla she'ein by sakana. So a choyl l'shem by sakana kibui would not necessarily be mutter.
Well, are they akum?
Adi akum is mutter. Or are they shinui? You want to do with a shinui? Even the regular kibui that we do is not really called kibui anyway. When we put out a light on Shabbos, that's not called kibui because you're not making coals. Okay, it all depends. Every case is different. But obviously, if it's a choyl l'sheyesh by sakana, you can calmly day sakana, of course you can do. A choyl l'sheyesh by sakana, it's not necessarily mutter. There's no sakana. It's uncomfortable. Alright, so you find a solution. If you really can find a solution, then either akum, either shinui, either kata, okay, there are all different techniques. But the Gemara here, this is the Dvar, the Gemara here answers very, very atypical Gemara. The Gemara answers this halacha query with a Dvar Agada. What's the Dvar Agada? That a person's neshama is called a ner, ki ner Hashem nishmas Adam, and a candle is called a ner. So Hashem says, better the ner of Hashem's ner, which means the ner that Hashem created in this world, better it be extinguished so that the ner of the person's neshama shall remain lit. Two different types of neros. Better a person's neshama, that's called the ner, it remain kindled, better at the expense of having a ner, which is the creation of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, it remain kindled, better it should go out in order to preserve a ner. No, it's a conflict between two different types of neros. The person's neshama and a candle made from oil and wicks, and cotton or oil and cotton, whatever it is. Better that go out. So one other quick thing over here that says here in my sefer is we all know the famous Chazal that in Isha al shloisha dvarim nashim meisos b'shas leidasan. When a woman is in a matzav of sakana in shemayim, they medaktik with her over three things. They look at her track record. Nida, was she nizer in the laws of Nida? Number two, was she nizer in the laws of Hafrosh Aschala? And number three is Hadlok Asaner. These are the three things which HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Bez and Shalmaila, is medaktik on an Isha at the time when she is in the matzav of sakana. The typical time a woman is in the matzav of sakana is at childbirth. So why dafka these three mitzvos? So the answer is because Chava was responsible for all of man's problems. By Chava giving Adam, teaching the Eitz Hadas, she brought about the death of Adam Harishon. Death is always defined in terms of blood, shvichas damim. It's a code for death. Therefore, Hashem gave her the mitzvah of nida. Nida is shvichas damim. Her blood flows, and it's really more than that. Because every time there is a nida cycle, what does that really mean? It really means the absence of potential. That blood that's now flowing in part of her cycle could have been prevented, or I don't know all the details, the biology of how all this works. But it basically means that she did not conceive. Had she conceived, then that process would have been transformed into the blood that is now being shed, would have been transformed into a fetus. So it represents failure. It represents shvichas dam, mida keneged mida. You brought about the death of Adam HaRishon. Mida keneged mida, blood will flow from your body, which also symbolizes death within your own body. And a woman has to be nizra. Now, the second mitzvah is chala. Chala is the racious tivuasa. Adam HaRishon was Hashem's chala. Hashem created the earth with earth and water, and Hashem kneaded as a dough, and Hashem lifted up the first thing Hashem lifted up from the earth, from the offer min Adam and Mayim was Adam Harishon. Adam Harishon was the chala of this world. The entire world, the soil, the earth, and the water was considered a dough before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When Hashem picked up the first piece of dough from the earth, Hashem fashioned that into a human being, into Adam. Chava brought about the death of Adam HaRishon. The chala shel olam, mida keneged mida, she has to now observe for the rest of her life the mitzvah of Hafrashas Chala. Even though men also can do Hafrashas Chala, it's really their mitzvah.
So I think the woman's grace, she loses the egg.
Right, that's what it means. That the egg, that's the potential. When she menstruates, that is the loss of potential life. And that's like Shvich HaStamim. Midah K'negi Midah, she brought about the death of Adam HaRishon. His death is called the Shvich HaStamim. So Midah K'negi Midah, she also loses blood when she fails to produce a human being. And with that comes all of the laws and the regulations of Midah. Okay, so then we have also Chala, Fresh Chala. And then the third thing is this famous Chazal, this halacha of Kiner L'kim Nishmas Adam, that Adam was called the Ner Shel Olam. He was the light. He was Hashem's light in this world. Adam is called, and see, this marriage gives a little bit more insight of what exactly means Kiner Hashem Nishmas Adam. We learn Ra Mitzudas. The Mitzudas means that it's a person, it's an inspection, but it's more than that. The Ner, according to this marriage, the person's neshama is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in this world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's present. How is HaKadosh Baruch Hu present in this world? Through human beings. A human being is a life form that has bechira, that represents the koyach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's an opening, it's an extension of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If there would not be any human beings in this world, just animals and vegetation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence would not be here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence would be completely invisible. HaKadosh Baruch Hu enters this mundane world through Adam. So and Mele Adam basically is like illuminating HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence. This medrash is a very important medrash because it opens up for us. Tzelem is the Tzelem Elohim, and Adam, he brings with him the Shechina, Kedusha. Every person is a chelik from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Mele, that is what's called the Ner Hashem. Hashem's is invisible. It's dark. You take away man. Remove man from the equation. Man does not exist in this world. So this world, even though the sun may be shining, but the world symbolically is dark. It's dark. When there's no recognition of a creator, of our Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's a dark, black world. With the creation of a human being, Adam, now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here. He's present. His presence means there's a lichtigkeit. HaKadosh Baruch Hu now, there's been illumination to reveal that there is a Ribbono Shel Olam. So this medrash is okay. This medrash, she extinguished that ner. She extinguished the ner by giving Adam a rishon from the Eitz Hadas. Therefore, midah k'neged midah, she has to be nizer in the mitzvah of ner Shabbos. But the reason why I'm trying to mention this medrash is because this medrash indirectly, these three things, chala, halakas ner, correspond to the three things that Chava has done in this world to Adam HaRishon, right, giving him place to us. But indirectly, this medrash is revealing to us that a person's ner, ki ner Hashem, nishmas Adam, is man's service of illuminating the presence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu in this world. Okay, one other quick little interesting thing is that Ner, according to the Medrash, I have no idea what this means, just throw this out, what it means, Ner is Rosh Tevos, Neshama and Ruach. Ki Ner Hashem Nishma Sadam, Neshama and Ruach. And the Medrash is something very bizarre, I have no idea what this means, just saying words, that there's a Zohar, everything in this world is, there's a Zohar and a Nekeva. Everything in this world has to come together as a Shirach, Zohar and Nekeva. Okay, Tu B'Shvat. Tu B'Shvat is all about Shidduchim, right? There's a lot of stuff about Shidduchim, Torah lists of Shidduchim. In Lakewood, the freezer is open, right? The freezer is open on Tu B'Shvat. There must be some reason why Dafka Tu B'Shvat, I don't know, but everything is Zohar and Akeva. The Ner, according to the Medrash, is the Neshama is the Zohar, and the Ruach is the Nekeva. Again, I told you, I have no idea what this means, it's throwing on words, but there are two parts to a person's soul. There's the part that gives, and the part that takes. And the, what? That's what it says. It says here, the Ruach is Nekeva. Let me... I don't know. Ner, let me just make sure I'm not saying it wrong. Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam. Mahu Ner Neshama Ruach. Nun is Neshama Reishis Ruach. V'al Chibura D'Tarvayu Kachado Ikri Ner. When the two different parts are joined together in unity, it's called a Ner. T'chsiv, it says Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam. Neshama V'Ruach. Dochor v'nukva, male and female. la'an harona kachada, they illuminate together, and the dub, one without the other doesn't work, and it's not called an air. And when they join together, it's called an air. So it seems to say that the ner, the neshama, is the zohar, and the ruach is the nekeva. Okay, I don't know more than that. Okay, sometimes very mystical medrash. All right, that concludes for now the sugya of the ner Hashem nishmas Adam. Now we go to the next pasuk.
To give and take. Which one is the giver?
The giver is the neshama, yeah. And the taker is the ruach. Again, like I told you, I have no idea what this means. I never heard this before. The ner is Roshei Tevos, Neshama, Ruach. And the Medrash says, Neshama, Ruach are a team. One needs the other. One needs the Mekabel, and one is the Nosein. Just like in this world, everything in this world is a Zohar and a Keva. Likewise, in the spiritual world, there's also a Zohar and a Nekeva. And they work in unison.
I would thought that the Keva would be the giver, and the Zohar would be the taker.
The cable, well, even in the Goyshe world, you know, the symbols, the arrow and the circle, it's always the Nekeva is the Mekabel. I mean, that's just the way in Kabbalah also. The Zohar is always the Noisein, and the Isha, so, and there's Mekabel. Because even this was a corrupt world. In this world, the woman is always, she's the breadwinner. The wife is the Noisein, and the husband is the Mekabel. Because we live in Olam Hafach. We live in a corrupt world. What? The Ruach will blow out the Neshama. The Ruach, the wind. So what does wind really mean? We translate it as wind. Is really kind of nice? And I can tell you, I don't know. I'm just reading words. According to this Medrash, the Neshama is the nice and the Ruach is the Mekabel. Okay, let's go to Pasuk Chaf Ches. Pasuk of Ches says, Chesed v'emes yatsu melech v'so'ad b'chesed kiso. So what makes a good king? How does a king retain his power? So the convention, I think common understanding is, the bigger tyrant you are, the more power. Saddam Hussein, how did he retain his power? By killing everyone, by wiping out the competition. You have to be a tyrant. If the more of a tyrant you are, the more power, the more you'll remain in power among dictators and things like that. But here the passage, that's not so. It says to really retain your power, it's a very interesting passage, it's chesed ve'emes. The more kindness and the more emes that you engage in, that is yatsrumach, that's what strengthens, that is what protects, lashon matzar. Matzar is a siege, that is what provides protection for the king. The so'ad, v'chesed kiso, so'ad means it will be supported. His throne will be supported through, it repeats itself, v'chesed kiso. Let's see the mitzudos. Chesed v'yemes asher yaseh hamelech, the kindness and the truth which a king performs, heim shemir maso, these two different attributes is what guards the malchus. So the word, this word over here, yatsru, means shemir. Yatsru means to fortify. Ki bezeh merubim oyavav, so the mitzvah is telling us to love this. When you do someone chesed, they reciprocate. They feel indebted to you. And when enemy, gzunta, when someone comes to harm you, all of your friends and your loved ones will come to your defense. So it's natural. If a person is a very kind, gracious person, you're doing chesed v'emes, people are going to come forward, they're going to protect you. If they hear that someone's trying to overthrow you, they will inform you so you can protect yourself. This is the lumbus that the mitzvah stuff it provides to explain Pshat in the Pasuk. The sad, the Pasuk repeats itself as sad. The chesed sh'osa, to the chesed that the king does, tomach kisei malchus, so his kisei malchus is supported. Lamed al amdai, to remain firm. Okay, Rashi, there is no Rashi, then I don't have any Midrashim either. It's just a basic idea. Obviously, it's a very profound idea. I don't know why. There must be a lot. I don't just read the tale that much. I don't really know. But it's interesting. There are two different parts of the pasuk. This chesed yemes yatsu, protection. There's something called protection, and then there's something called to be established, to be supported. Support is not the same thing as protection. You can have all the best support you possibly want, but someone can come along and knock you off. right? You can support yourself and you with an iron foundation and be sitting all the way on the top of the throne. But if you're exposed, someone can come along from a distance and shoot an arrow and knock you out. So there are two things that you need. You need chesed v'emes for protection, but when it comes for support, you don't even need emes. I don't know the deeper meaning, but for support it says the only thing you need is chesed. Okay. Olam chesed yibaneh, right? We have that in Pirkei Avos. Olam chesed yibaneh, the world is built upon the principle of kindness. In the sechus of kindness, the world continues to exist. Avram Avinu is the foundation of Klal Yisrael, and the midah of Avraham is the midah of chesed. And in fact, Mashiach, it says, will come. Mashiach will come with chesed. Elokei Avraham, all about the Darshanim, they tell us, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzhak, Elokei Yaakov, that there were three different stages in creation. There was Avraham, chesed, then comes Yitzhak is din, then is Yaakov is emes, but then, Baruch Atah Hashem, Magain Avraham. Becha Chaisman, the Chasima, the Geula Hasida will only come in the Zuchus of Ches. We go back to the Sharashim. Each of these midos are very important, critical, but the ultimate which we need is Chesed. And to some degree, you can read it into the Pasuk. Here, the Pasuk says, V'soad b'chesed kisa, maybe al derech drush, during the throne of Mashiach, the Melech HaMashiach. The Melech HaMashiach, his throne will be supported through acts of kindness. Indeed, b'chachoismin baruch atah Hashem magen Avraham. Avraham is the mid of chesed. That's going to be the chasima, the final end, the thing we need to do in order to bring the Melech HaMashiach. Kepasuk chav tes teferes bachudim koicham v'hadar zekenim seva. According to the Mitzudos, in the beginning of the pasuk is a lead into the end of the pasuk, and it means just as the splendor of a bocher, of a young man, is his koyach, is his vigor, is his youth, his vitality. Likewise, make no mistake about it, the hadar zikenim, the beauty, the splendor of a zaken is seva, is old age. Old age is something that is to be appreciated. We had discussed this before. Old age is a maila, not a chesaron. We live in a very secular world where old age is worth nothing. And if the government could, they would set up death tribunals to knock out anyone that's old, because old age is not productive. What are you doing for society? What are you doing for the young people? It's not kedai to be old. It's just an expense. There is no value in seva. That's the world that we live in. And every time you have a company wants to appoint a new CEO, take a new partner, they're always looking for young people.
The government didn't take care of old people. The families themselves took care of
So in the secular world, old age is a very big liability. It's a liability, and the truth is, it's the fact that in the Jewish world also, when they, I would
not,
mention
not
this.
Everywhere.
Not, what?
China.
In the outer world, they appreciate old age? Okay. Okay, that's how it should be.
In China, I worked with a group of Chinese. I had a group that came over to the United States and were working with them. And the leader got sick. And he went back. So automatically, a new leader came. So we asked them, how did you appoint the new leader? He said, what's the Shiloh? Oldest guy,
the leader.
That's it.
Very good.
China.
Okay, excellent. That's a whole different society. In America, it's not like that. In America, you'll always see the news when they take a new CEO for one of the big companies or a new president of a university. Young. Always looking to take someone in their 30s, their early 40s. It has to be very young. What?
He wants his
own people.
See?
Yeah. Okay, that's the way it's like the president. President, the whole.
You're talking about the top.
Well, no. I mean, there's certain things you can use. I mean, someone who works in is a lawyer. I know. So this person told me, Mamish, this. Okay, I'm just getting over here. But you see this in Rabbanis. I don't know. Okay, I'm not in Rabbanis. Okay, you have a shul, and the rabbi retires. or the rabbi dies. So ruba de ruba, 99% of the time, at least what I've seen is the shul is looking for a young rabbi. Rabbi 25 years old. They want to control him. They want to manipulate him. They want to control him. They want respect.
They want him to last.
What? They like to what?
They want to attract the first.
Then you have to go to the young field. They have a soul.
Yeah. Yeah.
Five stand and then you get the last
guy named Thompson. Dan Thompson.
How old was he?
Thompson. The name's Thompson.
How old was he, the old CEO?
He was in his 50s.
Yeah. It's young.
Why did they let go?
Money, yeah.
He was not able to keep up the change. Donald has competition. Wendy's Burger King. Who did they bring in to replace?
Yeah.
There's different views. You bring a CEO from the outside.
Yeah, yeah. So who they bring in?
CEO from the inside. There's one of those above. CEO on the inside knows the operations. CEO on the outside brings fresh blood, fresh ideas.
Yeah.
What a guy from the inside. But he had gone outside, this guy. Got his name.
How old is he?
He's in his 40s.
A young guy.
But
so
he had experience on the outside.
Okay.
So he wanted that. So in the business world, what Phil said is correct. But once usually you bring in your own guy, you clean house. When Ford changed its operations right in the recession, Ford was the only company that did not ask the government to bail out money. GM did, Chrysler did, they all did. Ford did not. They brought in a new guy to run Ford. And he had his philosophy, brought in his team. That's one of the... But Phil says correct. But he said philosophy. I don't know about Ravana said bring in an inside rabbi, outside rabbi. Well, this could be different. Depends on who wants it, one guy.
Okay.
You mentioned earlier. You said they don't want to push it, right? He told us.
It depends. Every show is different. But today, okay, I just want to generalize. Generally, you listen to the radio, you watch television, you do it all. You go online. The general impression you get is that this pasuk, they ripped it out of Mishlei. They ripped it out of Mishlei. Oh, that v'hadar zekeinim is seva. You don't get that impression today. Today the impression is young. Experience can be... experience is good, but yeah.
Rav Chaim Moshe Brzezinski, there was a shalom in his last days. Who should they have visas to give? Get out of Europe. Who should they give it to? The older Rabbanim?
Well, the young Rabbanim, yeah. So what are you asking?
Supposed to give it to the older Rabbanim.
The older Rabbanim. They should serve as an example for the future generation.
No, but that wasn't his reason.
Why? You asked him, he didn't give you a halachic reasoning. The halachic reason came in was right. Rek. That was the main point.
That's not the reason
it was
publicized there.
Okay, let's go for it. Let's read the Mitzvah of Stavin inside. Let's see over here. Teferes bachudim b'chayim v'hadar zekeinim seva pasuk Just as the koyach, the vitality of a young man is the splendor of youth, likewise kein sevas hazakenim hiluhem lehadar. The old age, seva toiva. The seva means the old age and the experience, the life experience that comes with seva is the hodar, is the biofi, is the beauty that comes to zikainim. Rashi pasuk of test teferes bachulim koicham kemosh teferes bachulim koicham. Just as the teferes, the splendor of the young, as their koyach came likewise. Hadras zikainim, the beauty of a zaken is seva, is his old age. The fact that he is old, seva has a connotation of not just being old, it means a life of accomplishment. It means experience. Life experience. This is the hodar of old age. Masha yaseh hazman, lo yaseh hasechel. Masha lo yaseh hazman, yaseh goes both ways.
No, Masha lo yaseh hasechel, lo yaseh hazman.
Okay, but it means the same. I heard it as Masha Yaseh Hazman, Lo Yaseh Hasechel. Something you can time, to me the same idea. Okay, just the way of saying it.
Time
with time, with experience, just being alive, just showing up. What's the expression? Most of life is just showing up. Who said that? Shaki Mason said that? Or someone, I don't know, someone, some comedian said that. Most of life, success in life is just showing up. Being around and seeing how the world works, that itself brings a person a lot of success that Chochmah cannot bring. Okay, so this is the Perush of Rashi, the Perush of the Mitzudos, and I don't have here any other Midrashim. So let's go on to the next pasuk. Pasuk lamed. Chaburos petza tamruk bira umakos chadrei vod. It appears we have machlokes between the Mitzudas and Rashi how to translate this pasuk. Mitzudas says the word that all everything focuses on the word tamruk. It's a very difficult word to translate. According to the Mitzudas, tamruk means to purify. Purification. And I guess we can say that this pasuk lamed is just being snatched out of Sefer Iyov. That the more person suffers, the more yisurim that come upon a person, the more his neshama is purified. Now, no one wants that, but that's what it says. Chaburos, wounds, and petza, different types of chaburos, or petza, different types of forms of suffering. Tamruk, it purifies. It cleanses, bera, those who are evil. And that means everyone. Ein tzadik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov lo yechato. Every person has within him a small degree of evil. So in order to purge, to purify the evil that's in a person, he needs a little chabura and a little petza. And likewise, the pasuk repeats itself, umakos, wounds, or different afflictions that come upon a person, chadrei voten, it purifies the inside. You have to take the word tamruk and repeat it according to the Mitzudos. Repeat it a second time, it's tamruk, it cleanses the chadrei voten, it cleanses the innermost, the essence of a person. It makes the person a better person when he's able to overcome difficulties. Let's see the Mitzudos inside. Let's first look at the word Mitzudos, the Mitzudos Tzion, where he translates the word tamruk. Inyan zichuch ubehirus. Zichuch means purification, and behirus clarity. Kmo morkoi haramok. I'm not sure that word. That it's later on. Okay, I'm not sure what that means, but it means over here purity. Let's take a look at
the word mara. Clear soup.
So clear soup. Okay, all right, possibly. V'noson tam. What's the pasuk? What's the pasuk? Those are the perfumes. Tamruk. Maybe that's a different word because like tamrukayim. Okay, I don't know. Maybe it makes them their medicines, their perfumes. What makes them look pure? Maybe exactly is what it means. By putting on different perfumes, different spices, it makes the woman, it makes them look beautiful. It makes them look bohir. It makes them look pure and clean. It makes them
the appearance.
It makes them glow.
Maybe it cuts them the
Impurities. No, there's no cheske. Okay, let's see. So according to the Mitzudos, it means purification. Okay, let's see inside. Let's see the Mitzudos David. The Mitzudos David says, Chaburos petza, ha-chaburos u-petzoyim heim, the chaburos and petzoyim, different types of wounds heim, ha-mezachechim be-ish-ra. It is what purifies an ish-ra, la-havir mimenu achiras he-ovoin, to remove from him the cloudiness of sin. Every sin leaves a stain upon a person's neshama, and through Yisurim, it cleanses, it makes the neshama bohir. It removes that stain, that cloudy mark on a person's neshama. Ki be'elu yikabel hagmul v'telech avam, by receiving suffering in this world, makos and petza, a person receives his punishment in this world, and now he's cleansed from sin. The sin goes away. Umakos, gam makos b'chari voten, also makos, so I didn't translate it correctly, I made him say, makos chari voten, makos in, wounds, internal wounds. See, I guess I made a mistake. The chaburos and petza are external wounds. Wounds on the surface. The pasuk includes makos chadrei voten and wounds inside. Also, now we have to repeat. We have to repeat the beginning part of the pasuk. The makos that come internally also serve as a way to be tamruk bera, cleanse an evil person, cleanse the sins of a person. Cleanse a person's sins. Okay, this is the parish of the Mitzudos. Rashi disagrees. Rashi appears to learn that tamruk means to pour, and that means, let's see over here, chaburos petza tamruk bera. Darshu Rabosenu Hamemorik Atzmo Lidvar Avero. Memorik means a person, he frees himself. There's a different word that the Medrash is quoting from a Medrash. And the Medrash does not use the word Memorik, but it means Kol HaMefaneh. Hamefane libo mishra sokov. Kol hanom, sorry, does say kol hamimorek atzmo la'avera, and the way here, at least in this sefer, translates the word mimorek means hamifane libo mishor asokov l'saseg baveros. You make yourself available. You free yourself. You pour out all. I think mimorek means literally to pour. You pour out all of your activities in order that you have time to sin. A person is normally filled with activities. I'm busy. I have to go to work. I have to go take care of my family. I have to carpool. Got to learn with my kids. I got to do this. I got to do that. I'm filled with activities. You take yourself and you pour yourself out. Memorik, it's the pour. I pour out all my activities. My calendar is clean. It's empty. I'm available. What are you available for? To do all of the different averos. Every aver that you want me to do, I'm ready. I'm all yours. Yetzahara, I'm yours for the day. I've cleared my schedule. What happened to such a person? This person is in a lot of trouble. He is going to be beaten with chaburos and petza and makos chadrei votem. He's going to suffer quite a bit. Why is he going to suffer quite a bit? Because he was tamruk bira. He poured out his activities in order to make himself available to do ra, in order to do sin. Words of the Rashi, what time do we do? The Medrash, same exact thing. Dosh Rav Asenu Hamemorik Atzmo. A person pours out his activities in order to make himself available, Lidvar Avera. So the end will be Bo Lidei Pitzoim V'Chaburos. He will suffer. He's going to suffer. And he will... What? That's Petzah V'Chabura.
Makotriya.
Oh, Makotriya. That's a Teichecha.
Right.
Mako, what's a Makotriya? Turiya. A very open wound. And then Mako is Chadrei Vaten. So here it's Rashi in the parentheses. Suya Gemara. What type of Mako will he suffer? Wounds that are on the inside of a person's beten. And what is that? We learn from the Polishtim, Ze Hadroikon, or Hadroikon, which could mean Hidroikon, which I think it means hemorrhoids. Is that what it means? Hidroikon, or it means dryness. Okay, it's some type of very, I'm not sure, I thought it's
diarrhea?
Could be okay.
Chole
me'ayim. Chole, which is a, it's a good simen.
That's a beten.
That's a chaburas beten. Chadrivoten, hidroikin is some type of stomach disease, whether it's diarrhea, whether it's hemorrhoids, or whether it's...
Mitzudas says
that the word tamruk according to the Mitzudas means purification. That the subject of the pasuk according to the Mitzudas is a tzaddik yesoid oilam. Tzaddik. And the pasuk is teaching us the concept of tzaddik viralo. That tzaddik is going to suffer in order that he should be mezuchach. He should be purified. Rashi is the opposite. Rashi was discussing a Rasha Merusha, a very evil person, and the word tamruk means he himself is engaging in this activity called tamruk. He's freeing his schedule in order to make himself available for Ra. He will suffer terrible things, makos, chaburos, and chidrei vatan. Now, we need the words of the Medrash. The Medrash comes out and says, it's more in Shabbos, and Daf Lamed Gimel. Chaburos, petza, tamruk, bera, makos, chidrei vatan, klap, who's the pasuk, amar, b'oshaya, kol hamimorek, atzmo, la'vera, which he translates here in the parish to mean kol hamifane, libo. A person frees, he opens up his heart. Mishor asokov lis aseg baveros. He clears his schedule from other activities in order to be available to avero. Chaburos upetzoyim yotzin bo shnemar chaburos petza tamruk bara. And he translates this to mean chaburos v'kapetzoyim boim beglal hispanus mishor hu asokin be'avur ralik. We translate it v'loyoid ela shenidon behid roikon. Here he translates here in this parish shame holy hatichoyrim. Tichoyrim means hemorrhoids. Now I don't know that it's only his, not everything here is accurate. This he has a lot of parish. That's one of the reasons why I like this so much, because a lot of these things I don't know, and he always puts in his parish his translation. A lot of times he takes some Rashi. He actually tells you where he's getting his parish from when he quotes these Mamar Chazal. He translates them and he explains them. He just says here it's the name of hemorrhoids. Shenemar makos chadivoten. Fine, that is a similar avera hidreikin. Okay, that's okay. Then is one. Okay, there's one other medrash. The medrash over here says that this refers to the Egyptians. We darsh this entire pasuk reference to the Egyptians, and it means that the chaburos and the petza are the aseres are the first nine makos. There were 10 makos. The last makos was makas bechoros. According to the medrash, makas bechoros is called the chadre vaten. Why? I guess because the child comes from the womb. Comes from the chamber of the womb, a person's firstborn child. Every child is a chedri vaten, but specifically the firstborn is the chedri vaten. And that's called makas bechoros. And the first nine makos are called the petza and the chaburos. They suffer different types of external suffering from the nine makos. Hashem says, I really wanted to cleanse you from Ra, you evil, evil Egyptians, by bringing upon you petza and chaburos in order that you should let my people go. But you didn't get the message. I sent nine makos, and after nine makos, you still refuse to let Klal Yisrael go. So I had no choice but to bring you the last one, the makos bepatish, the makos chadre voten, makas bechoros. That's what was finally going to force you to let Klal Yisrael leave Mitzrayim.
Died, nobody knew that
they called Bukhara. At first Bukhara, so it was a secret. It was a secret marker. No one knew, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to know which one was the true Bukhara because they sent secretly. Very good. So let's say we do this in the Medrash. Dover Acher.
The article translates
it
as hemorrhoids.
Hemorrhoids. Yeah, okay.
That's from Kisabah.
Yeah, but that's what he's saying, the Hedroikin. I mean, right. He says it means Tachar. But who says that? He's just telling you.
Yeah.
Hedroikin is Tachorim.
Right.
Okay, so Tachorim.
That's what he's saying.
Yeah, so we're not really sure. For some reason, Hedroikin, I remember learning it means something in the throat. There's a maka that goes down, not necessarily the bottom part of the. Of the upper part of the digestive tract. What? Hedroikin.
I don't know the Hebrew name, but the English name of
the
is what?
Ethereum. Okay, I'm not sure. Okay.
This one pasuk is the perfect answer to Eve's oestitis.
The whole Eve is an answer to oestitis. Okay. No, it's very hard. One thing you don't have any satisfaction. What is the connection between these psukim? There's one, the connection between one pasuk and the next pasuk. Chesed and emes yatsu melech. What is chesed and emes yatsu melech? The sword of chesed kiss have to do with the next pasuk. Teferes bachudim koicham. These psukim, it's very, very hard. And
the way I understand it, it's a very logical.
Yeah.
Punishment, tsar, it gets you to think.
Okay.
And when you think, you realize that it's right, you deserve it, because you're a chayte, and you get a spiritual lifting. So when you realize that, you realize that going ahead punishing people as a tyrant doesn't accomplish anything. If you do everything with chesed, you reach him better, and that's the problem with the young people. Young people don't realize this. They have no life experience.
Uh-huh.
You know, if something happens to a young guy, it's the end of the world. He got a scratch at his car, devolved, what's he going to do? If you're older guy, say, bang up the car, look at him, kill anybody, look at no one, you know. So
okay, I hear what you're saying. Well. You're saying that chesed VMS is okay, you have to.
I mean, the order is a little different, but you know.
Okay,
we'll begin,
okay.
We bring the points, and at the end, we summarize.
Okay, let me just read you this last medrash of here. Chaburos petza, we got the last point of Mitzrayim. Chaburos petza tamrik bura, makos chalivoten. Kol makos, hamardus, all the first nine makos. Shehevi HaKadosh Baruch Hu al hamitzrim, hoyi b'shvil l'morka min hara. Hashem was trying to purify them from ra. Well, Taich Markham, like the Mitzvot. Hashem was trying to purify the Egyptians from their evil ways by inspiring them to let Klal Yisrael leave. Kidei sheyotziu ha-mitzrim es Yisrael me'etzlam. Shenemar, chaburos petza, tamruk b'ra. Hashem sent chaburos and petza in order to purify the ra, the evil in the Egyptians. But v'ulam, they didn't get the message. Lo bikshu ha-mitzrim l'shalchem. They refused. Ve'emosai sholchu osam. When did they send them? Alidei makos chadre bitnam v'zehu makas b'chayres. They did not get the message until the makos chadre boten. That's when finally they let them go. Okay, that concludes Perek Chof. Let me just make sure I didn't forget anything. Okay, good. Let's go to Perek Chof Aleph. Perek Chof Aleph. Palgimayim lev melech v'yad Hashem. I'll call asher yachpoitz yatenu. Now we know the middle of the pasuk. That's a very famous expression. Lev melech biyad Hashem. I think we always say lev melech. Don't we say lev with the tzere? Lev melech biyad Hashem. Lev what? Lev melech biyad Hashem. Maybe there's another pasuk. I don't know. But here in the middle of the pasuk, it's lev melech biyad Hashem. And in the beginning of the pasuk, we really it's like sandwiched. First, it says palge mayim, and the Ritzis will tell us that just like a farmer has the koyach to transfer water through irrigation canals wherever he wants, through canals. You want water over here? I'll get you the water. A plumber. See, today we have that power of taking a plumber. You want to draw a pipe? I'll make a pipe over the whole Russia. We'll go through Siberia. We'll go through the Greenland. We'll get you wherever you want a pipe. We'll put a pipe. No problem. We can direct mayim wherever you want. It's the same exact thing. The end of the pasuk that the heart of a king is like. It's in the hands of Hashem. Al kol asher yachpoitz yatenu. Whatever Hashem wants, Hashem will turn the heart. Hashem will control the heart of the king, just like a farmer can manipulate the flow of water in his field by etching out canals where the water should flow. Because why? Because lev melech biyad Hashem. Now, if you take this pasuk to its natural conclusion, I once heard someone say this. I was a little more worked up in politics years ago, and someone said to me, "It doesn't make a difference who the president is. It really doesn't make a difference because it's a democracy. In a democracy, it's the hamoinam, and how much power does the president really have? He's so upset that this one won, that one won. Nothing to be upset about. It's all the same." It's all the same anyway. They're restricted. There's checks and balances. It's true and it's not true. But if you take this passage, the natural conclusion is basically saying by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it doesn't make a difference. HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately called the shots. What?
I think Rav Moshe said that about elections. He said, you have to vote. Don't worry about it.
Doesn't make a difference. Lev melech v'yad Hashem. Who you think...
Yeah. Doesn't matter who's president, the Pentagon is going to run the country.
The Pentagon's going to run the country.
In other words, presidents come in with whether they're hawks or whether they're doves, the Pentagon makes them react to whatever happens anyhow.
Okay, so
they influence him beyond what he ever thought was going to
exactly.
happen. Exactly. Until you're president, you never know what's going on for real anyhow.
Okay, and Chanami. So, but it's saying that Kadosh Baruch Hu, he and we'll see them in Rashi, and who's really in charge, the people, meaning that depending on the zuchus, the merits of the people in society, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will influence the melech to do what will be either as a good or bad to punish or reward the people in the society, people in the community, in the country. Let's see the Mitzvah's Pasuk Chof Aleph. Pal Geimayim. So you have to read the Pasuk backwards. Kemo. Pal Geimayim, just like streams of water, irrigation canals. Hema. Biyad Ha'odam. Lahatoysa Mamokam Hanirtsa. A farmer can redirect and channel water where he wants. Al Yidei Chafirois Chaditzim. By digging channels in the ground. Cain, likewise. Leiv Hamelech biyad Hashem lahatoysay el kol asher yachpoitz, wherever Hashem wants. Now look at the Rashi. Rashi elaborates a little. Rashi does not comment. Okay, but the Medrash over here is a little bit more elaborate. The Medrash Mishlei, I'll read you the words because it's very, very interesting. Okay, Rabbi Shmuel Oimer. Mahu, what does this pasuk mean? Palgi mayim v'chulu biyar Hashem v'goymer elo. Maha mayim halalu kishata noista mechli ata mata oisim l'chol tzad. Just like when it comes down, for some reason he's talking about water in a utensil. He's not talking about water on the ground irrigation canal. I don't know why, because the pasuk is about palgi. Palgi means streams. So I'm not exactly sure, but he says over here that if you have a cup of water, you can turn the cup back and forth, and you can cause the water to rise and fall in the utensil. Ata mata oisim l'chol tzad shata yoitze came so too kishabosar v'do. When a human being receives power from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Levi, this is a matter of fact, Levi Nosun Biyad HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his heart is in the control of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Im Zocha HaOilam, if the world merits, because people are good, they're tzaddikim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mat Levi Shel Melech L'Gzeros Tavos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will tilt the heart of the king to make good decisions. Avol Im Nischayef HaOilam Ba'Averos, but if Chas V'Sholem society is mired in sin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mat Levi Shel Melech L'Gzeros Ros, V'Chol Gzero Gzero Sheyotze Mipiv Eina Yotze B'Tchila Ela Milufnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A king is fully under the control of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every decision he makes really came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. L'kach Nemer Al Kol Asher Yachbot Yatenu. Everything that Hashem wants, Hashem will influence. An amazing thing to be a king, have power, you're not in control. Vaychazik Hashem is slave paro. Where do you draw the line between Bechir and Nabechir? Tough questions. These are very difficult questions. And I mentioned before, it's not just in the Jew, in the Goyish world, it's true in the Jewish world. We say it the other way. The Hasidus. Hasidus, to a very large degree, is built upon this principle. A Hasidus is the Haskama Sa'am. If everyone accepts upon themselves one person to be their leader and they give him power, he's the boss. He makes all the financial decisions for the community. So, Mela, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds. You're in charge, so I'm going to pretty much control your machshavos. And when people come to ask you questions, what to do, what not to do, it's not really going to be you just telling them what to do, because you have behind you the haskama of the entire community. You are guaranteed to receive siyata deshmaya to tell people the right thing to do, not to do, and therefore, for that matter, it doesn't make a difference who the rebbe is. The rabbi doesn't have to be the biggest Talmud Chacham. He doesn't have to pass a basic threshold of knowledge to qualify. And that's why if you're the Enikul, you're the grandson. So even though in the community there are people that are a lot greater, they're a lot greater. So good, there are people that are greater than you, but it doesn't make a difference. I'm the heir. I'm the heir to the throne, and that principle is true in the Jewish world, and it's true in the secular world as well. I know someone that went to visit. He went as part of a commission to visit to see George W. Bush at the very end of his presidency, and that was during the election season. I think it was the heat of the election season, right before election day, and I think it was the OU. The OU had a group that was sat in the Oval Office with George W. Bush, and he was talking very freely with them, and he kept on saying over and over that what he learned in his 8 years as president is, it's Omen HaShemayim. He says you would think that when he was sitting there, you would think that you're listening to a shmooze from a Rosh Hashiva. And really, it's a shocking thing. And he was telling them that it's all in God's hands. He says he's telling them that what people you hear in the news is not even 10% of what's really going on in the world. The things that go through my ears, the things that we know about, you wouldn't believe. And we make decisions based upon 90% of what 90% information that you don't know. And he told them over and over, you see how God runs the world. It's not even in the power. And that's coming from a person that's not Jewish. And but he obviously, the leader of the free world, obviously, who could say there's never been a time in the history of the world where one person has so much power? I mean, to a certain degree. One person, I know, the President of the United States, it's not real. I mean, he acknowledged that this pasuk is 100% accurate. Lev Melech B'yad Hashem.
Lev, probably the difference between the it's Seder and the Segel.
Yeah.
You have just like you have the Segaleh of a song.
Yeah.
So that the Yasnachta.
It's a Snachta, Segaleh. Aha.
So, so I'm wondering if it's the same Levin.
Lev Melech, since we say it as an independent
it's
statement.
It's not
Sobuch to Palgei Mayim. Since we say it as an independent expression, Lev Melech V'yad Hashem.
Positioning.
Here it's connect to Palgei Mayim. Palgei Mayim Lev Melech. Here it's like really more connected to some degree. Maybe that's why he changed the vowel. I don't know.
Also, by the way, the Aram Milos translates and brings down the pasuk from the Megillah, and also Tamruke, and then he explains it the way you said. Maybe it is
what
with the word Tamruk.
Yeah,
from Tamruke.
Tamruke is the poor
from
the Zachich.
He explains it the way
the Bohir. You put on these different spices to bring out the Yofi, the Mara, the Mara of the woman, of the skin. Yeah. Nothing is perfect. I don't know, nothing is perfect. Shabbat Shai Tzvi, you fooled. Ruach HaKodesh. You have to, you obviously have to pass a certain threshold where the person who's leader is the real thing. If the person who's the leader is a Yorei Shemayim, not necessarily the biggest Talmud Chacham, but is a Yorei Shemayim, and he's with the program, and the people, the community have faith in him, you have all the ingredients that everything should work. But if you have a fraud, you have a Shabbosai Tzvi who's just manipulating people, what? Really?
Too many chiefs and not enough Indians.
There are so many.
But the Talmidei Chachamim have to. They're not in a leadership position.
Every little yeshiva, they're Rosh Yeshiva.
There aren't that many yeshivas. I mean, how many yeshivas are there? Major yeshivas that the average person heard of.
There's a lot of yeshivas.
There are a lot of little yeshivas.
A lot of yeshivas.
But how many yeshivas, the average person walking in the street, you'll tell them a yeshiva? Do you ever hear that name before? Can you name the Rosh Yeshiva? Do you know someone who learns in that yeshiva? Let's look at America. In America, are there more than 10 yeshivas that every average person can yeah, I recognize that yeshiva. I don't think there are. Very few.
You ask each person
in Tabitha
to
show,
he's going to tell you that his rabbi is the
worst. Don't tell you his rabbi is the worst. Just the opposite. I don't get that impression. Maybe you're right. I don't get that impression. All the shuls in Flappish I find are very small. Every shul doesn't have on Shabbos. What? They have respect. He's the rabbi. He's in charge. Is he the Gadol Hadar? I don't see that at all. Even rabbis who are very, very big Talmid Chacham, the Baal Batim, don't give them...
The question is, the misconception, what's a Talmid Chacham? That he knows how to learn, or that he knows how to...
No, I'm talking about power. I'm talking about a person in a position of power that can make decisions that affect you. There are a lot of Talmid Chacham. Do whatever you want, it's a free world. What? Okay, that's a problem.
It's a concept.
Okay, but how many people? How many people are there? Yeah.
5,000.
Yeah. Doesn't mean you can make the right decision. Absolutely not. Ein Chanami. That's what it says. Because the people are not worthy. That's what the Rav and the Mitzvah says. The Mitzvah says that if the followers are not worthy, they're not worthy. They're bad people. They do averos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to punish them through their leader. Hashem is going to put a machshav in the mind of the leader to make a decision that's not for their benefit, so that they should suffer. That's exactly what the Mitzvah says.
He'll make
a decision that's going to ultimately cause them harm. It's going to cause them to lose money, to become poor. Why? Because the followers are not good people. So what then is the leader supposed to do?
So you need what?
The leader is supposed to guide them, inspire them to be good people. So it's a cycle. The leader is supposed to inspire them to be good people. So when they'll be good people, they'll be deserving of, they'll have merits. And that in turn will cause the Kadosh Baruch Hu to plant seeds and machshavos in the mind of their leader that he should make good decisions that will be to their ultimate benefit. It's a continuous cycle, and it goes both ways. The biggest smile that a leader has is he has the stage. He has influence. He has influence. If Obama gets up and he drinks a Budweiser, everyone's gonna. That's an advertisement for a Budweiser.
He's the example.
Those standards are the standards of a secular country. A person in a position, in a leadership position, has two main powers. Number one, he has power. That's what a leader is. He makes decisions. He signs the checks. He has power to make decisions which affect every single person under his control. And number two is influence. He sets the tone. His presence sets a tone which can trickle down effect, can influence the way people behave, the way that people think. And then you can basically say, I'm going to tax you. Everyone here has to give me $1,000. Or everyone here has to go and do something crazy because I'm the person in charge. How many people in Flatbush have power? Very few people. You know, who has power? Even the rabbi of an average shul in Flatbush. What?
All the power is written good.
How many people have power? Schools. Principals. Principals in schools. They have power. They have a lot of influence. They can ruin the children. I don't know. These are
the rep against special siyata.
Yeah.
On the basis of specific name. Is that a Hasidic thing or is that general?
No. So the Litvaks say that it's not a Hasidic thing. They say this is part of the blueprint, the DNA of this world. And it'll work in any setting. I don't want to say because it's a little bit lashon hara. There was a certain rebbe that had an enormous influence and power. And not everyone liked the derech. So the people who were very in favor of this rebbe, they spoke to another very great person, who obviously, and I don't know who this person is, and he said, how could you not be a follower? I can prove to you that he's a Baal Moifes. I can prove to you concretely that he did miracles. Okay, and you can't deny the fact, whatever that means, you cannot deny the fact that he did miracles. So it goes to show that he's a... So the person said to him, big deal. If everyone in this world will believe in a piece of wood, take a piece of wood, and believe that this piece of wood can do for them a miracle, it's built into the DNA of this world that the piece of wood will do a miracle.
Absolutely.
The eagle has off. What's the eagle has off? Bilam, the Moab of Midian, they believed in him. The eagle has off. Egel Azav was a living creature who was talking. Why? Because everyone in Klal Yisrael believed that this Egel is going to be their new leader. And Moshe Rabbeinu disappeared. We need a new leader. We believe in a piece of metal. A piece. So what are you going to tell me? We look at this. This is before Matan Torah. This is not. We can't relate to this. This is Koychas Atumah. Yeah, it's a hard. We don't understand what's all that. No! That's not true. The Torah is given for us. We do relate to this. It's built into this world such a concept that if you believe in something, that thing gets power. And the more people that believe in something, the more power. It's not a Hasidic thing. The Hasidim took this to their advantage and they built it up. They worked it up to make a Rebbe and to make a Hasidus and to make a whole society, a community. By the Litvaks, we don't go for this. We don't like this. But it still works. By the Litvaks, the Litvaks would indeed would come together, it would work. And to some degree, like we mentioned, in modern times, a lot and the Litvish Olim has borrowed from the Hasidim. They do treat their Rosh Yeshiva with the same mindset, the same frame of mind. The Hasidim look at their Rebbe. We do that. And also, to the same degree as the Hasidim today, believe it or not everyone likes to hear this, don't believe in their Rebbe the way their grandparents believed in their Rebbe. They think their Rebbe, he's a nice guy, he's a good leader, he has position, we'll come to the Mesivas and we'll dance, we'll go to Tish. But do I really have faith in my Rebbe? No. I mean, this—they'll lynch me for saying this, but it's true. Why? Because they look at us. They look at the Livshoilim. Livshoilim, we don't believe in the Rashivas that he has godly powers. He's a Talmud Chacham. He's a Paisek. And therefore, when it comes to halachic shilas, we ask him. What? No, no, okay, Rabbanim, whatever, leaders, Paiskim, whatever, people who are accepted to be experts in their field. Do I believe that their brachas are going to, they can be pulled from these things? No. So they've pretty much been influenced by us, by the Litvish Olam, that they don't believe in their, because they really believe in their Rebbe. Their Rebbe today will be able to pull Nisim. And the Rebbe's today are not, I haven't heard recently, Rebbe's today are doing miracles. You hear Rebbe say doing miracles today? No, like you hear about Baal Shem Tov and about the Yid HaKadosh and about all these, you don't hear about these things.
And stories start to grow.
Because they don't believe this. They don't believe. They don't believe 100%.
So the people are generally more educated today, the average person.
That's why they don't believe. Ignorance is bliss. It's a different. We live in a very complicated world today, and it cuts both ways. It cuts both ways. There are milus and chasronos, but this principle is a principle that's here in the pasuk. Palgei mayim lev melech biyad Hashem. That the lev melech is biyad Hashem. Al kol asher yachpoitz yatenu. Whatever Hashem wants, Hashem has the power to influence the king. And the pasuk compares it to palgei mayim, streams of water. Streams of water. Water is the most easily and most susceptible object that's subject to change. Mayim, you can turn that here, turn there. There's nothing that's more susceptible to movement than mayim. Like Rashi says, if you have a cup of water, or the Medrash is a cup of water, you can turn it like this, and then it goes back and forth. Oil, it's a little slower, has some consistency. It's not so easy. But mayim, and it says, king is like mayim. There's one Medrash. The Medrash says, Medrash concludes, Omar Rabbi Huda, Omar Rav. There are three things in this world that need rachamim: a melech toiv, a shana toiva, and a chaloim toiv. There are three things. Melech, how do you know that a melech toiv needs rachamim? B'chsev, palge mayim, lev melech v'yad Hashem. So here, according to the Gemara, it's not a medrash, the Gemara is in Brochus, on daf nun hey, when it says v'yad Hashem, the fact that the king is fully under the control of Kodesh Baruch Hu, you have to be mevakesh rachamim, be mispalel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem should influence the king to make the proper decisions. The king's mind is not in his control. He's not at the switch. Hashem is, therefore, if he needs something, don't go to the king, go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has control over the king. That's the din of rachamim. A bad king maybe is not susceptible. He turns away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't know. Okay, we'll stop over here.